from the new recording lair located deep beneath the Wine and Spirit Store in Ephrata, Pennsylvania.
You're listening to the Masonic Light Podcast.
Studio 665 presents Masonic Light Podcast. This show is recorded by Masons, for Masons. It is for entertainment purposes only. And please, no wagering.
This podcast is not endorsed by any Grand Lodge, and the ridiculous ramblings of the hosts are their own. And now, here's your host.
Hey, everybody, it's the Masonic Light Podcast.
Hello.
Episode number 173.
What? Wow. 173. That's a lot of episodes.
That is.
More than four. Larry, what are you doing? You doing a crossword?
Yeah.
What?
I think he's playing Sudoku.
Oh.
No.
Oh. Okay. Thank you for pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, okay. I tried. So, we have a full house tonight.
Yes, we do.
And there's a story behind that, but we'll talk about that later.
We're all shirking.
We have Larry, Jack, Josh, and myself, Tim. And we have a guest co-host tonight, Ricky Martini.
Thank you.
Yeah. Harrisburg Lodge number 629.
Yes.
All right. In Harrisburg, PA.
Huzzah.
Did you mention Jack and Jack? Or did you call him John?
It's a pair of Jacks.
I haven't introduced this guest for tonight.
I'm feeling bad. You just bypassed him.
I'm going to him next if you'll give me a minute.
Oh, jeez.
Settle down.
Brother Jack Bropes, past district deputy grand master in Pennsylvania of district
58.
I can never remember your all's numbers. 58. So, welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Yay.
All right. So,
I'm so enthusiastic.
Until about 2 hours ago, we weren't exactly sure how many people we were going to have here tonight.
Nope.
It was going to be greater than three.
Maybe.
And less than like eight. So, again, we're good. Glad to have everybody here.
You got five, six, right? Six.
Yeah.
Six.
Six. We have six now. But
look at that. I can count.
You can. Very good.
One more and we're at fire code.
I didn't even take off my shoes.
Yeah.
It's early.
There'll be four if I take off my shoes. Don't worry.
The audit alarm is ringing. We'll talk about that later. So what we do, guys, is we begin our show with talking about what we've been doing recently in our Masonic careers, lives, whatever. Larry, other than eating breakfast, what have you been doing?
But that's important.
It is. It's the best meal of the day.
It's the most important meal of the day.
I'm estimating we started our 18th year of Gruce and Gridiron every Thursday morning. 18 years. There are lodges that don't last that long.
I'm not going to argue with you.
But here's the biggie. I went to Grotto.
Yay.
And I got to carry the sword.
No.
The Ubaritar.
Yeah. Ubaritar. Yeah.
They gave you a sharp object.
And yes, apparently there were wagers on what would happen if I fell with that thing.
It was a pointy thing.
He did not cut himself. He was good.
You can't cut yourself with that thing.
We were
you
could
break bones,
about,
but not cut yourself.
We had a health risk going on there.
Extra insurance was given there.
That's right. So, that's right, you were. That's right.
It was like going back to old home week. It was so many people I know, and we're there. And
you missed by not coming to Grotto?
Yeah, I did.
Aren't you glad?
That's why I'm back.
So we had to put Larry in a chair to get him to come back. So, anyway. But yeah. That's great. It's great. Jack, how about you? Jack number one.
Well, let me open my cheat sheet.
Oh no!
So we had we recorded on the 13th. So we had Academy of Masonic Knowledge on the 16th. That was very interesting. We had what else did I have? Oh, on the 20th, on Wednesday, we had our first official foray into the combined first and second degrees.
How'd that work for you?
Well, we had it. And
good. Okay.
It was a thing.
All right.
So I had them into the lodge on Monday night for mentoring and education.
Yep.
And they're very interested. They want... They want the rest of it. They want the hard part. They want to learn the oath and obligation.
Good.
And they want the real deal.
Good.
So they're going to get that.
Good.
And then tonight I was supposed to be at the Lehigh Valley Joshua Association, named after our own Josh Lamberton, who's apparently 85 years old, because that's how old that society is. But it's pouring down rain outside, and driving in the dark in the rain is my second least favorite thing to do. So I opted to come here instead and charm you all with my wit and wisdom.
Well, we're glad that you made the right decision.
Ta-da.
Great. So, Jack number two,
sound like
what have you been up to Masonically recently?
Jack number two has been on the road, traveling with the Grandmaster as one of his aides, doing the officer training for the Blue Lodge Revitalization Committee. Last night, I spent some time with Robert Burns Lodge in Harrisburg at their very nice banquet, and it's been quite busy. So I've been out and about just about every night.
When did you ever have time to be a district deputy?
Oh, you find time. You do find time. My wife told me tonight, she's like, you know, I miss you. I'm like, you'll see me tonight about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Hey.
Ooh. We'll get you home sooner than
that. Yeah, one night a month.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ricky, how about you?
Well, earlier this month, I helped confer a first and second degree for our Blue Lodge. We did the new advanced
combined degree,
and it went very well. We didn't miss a beat on it. Definitely was a little shorter on the second degree part, but I mean, it's still a long evening doing 2 degrees on one candidate.
We had 2 candidates, so each one got 2 degrees. So we did a long and a short first, and then we did a combined second, and I don't really like the combined second. We had 2 guys at the altar at once, and I will never do that again.
It's got to be a little confusing. And
yeah, it just didn't feel right.
No one knows who you're talking to.
Right.
This guy,
oh, but it's just the second degree. That's a throwaway.
Right? And then we had Cigar Lodge on Sunday.
We did.
To start off the afternoon, which was very nice weather, very nice turnout.
Excellent turnout.
Yeah, over 35 people.
Yeah, very nice. And then someone convinced me to join them at the Uber Grotto meeting.
What a jerk. Who would do that?
someone in this room.
You don't even get points for that.
It was
Come on.
It was so easy. Ricky, what are you doing tonight? Nothing. Great. Come with me.
Done. Get in the car.
And before we left, he had a petition in.
There you go.
Yep. Last night, again, I was at Robert Burns' banquet, the annual banquet, which is very nice. It was very put on great by the staff there, the officers. They did a great job. Got to see a lot of people I don't get to see often, which is good. And again, this evening was a Lehigh Valley Joshua's Association.
Wait, did you cut that?
He did.
Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
There's and, 3 of you that
you know, but I'm sure Jack Probst went because he's he's qualified to be a member of the Lehigh Valley.
No, actually, I thought this was much more important than the Joshua. So, I passed on that as well.
Nice.
So
I think it was raining a lot, night driving in rain. Isn't
I think we should take a picture true. And send it to them, and maybe they'll count you as present.
We can do that. I paid for dinner, so I'm
you same know, here. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay, good. You good?
That's everything.
All right, Josh.
I did not go to Grotto.
You did not.
I know. We looked at your house.
Yeah.
From
actually, Ricky and I drove past it.
Oh, really?
Because we were coming from Cigar Lodge into...
Oh, was that the house you were throwing stuff at?
Yeah. All right. It's where when I threw the cup out the window.
Yeah, got it.
It was his front yard.
I was wondering. No, that explains everything.
Yeah. Did some audit stuff.
Oh, very good.
But... Other than that.
Are you on Lamberville's audit committee?
No, but I'm in charge of funds, so I have to...
Do your thing.
Do my thing.
Cool. Very good. All right, so what have I been up to? I went to, I remotely attended the academy.
I did, too.
You did.
Yeah.
And you even texted me to say it wasn't working.
Stolen valor.
So. Yeah, they got a new link. All right. Harrisburg Council number 7, week and a half ago now, where I was installed thrice illustrious master.
Wow, congratulations, Tim.
Actually, I have Pete to blame for that. Several years ago, when he was thrice illustrious master, he said, "You really ought to do this." And I'm like, "I've been a member for what?" Next thing you know, I'm in the chairs, and here I am. On Saturday, I attended the Masonic service of our good friend Tim Settlemyer. Many of you all know him or knew him.
Yes.
He was a Mason extraordinaire, and there was a great turnout of the brethren over in Carlisle.
He's in a different like area of the state than
right,
I am,
right.
and we only really overlapped at Grotto.
Right,
I had no idea what an involved Mason he was. Mm-hmm. His Masonic resume is really, really impressive, and the fraternity will miss Tim.
Well, it's really sad. He was only 53 years old.
Right,
that's 53-year-olds in the last year.
Yeah, that's wow. Not good. That's very sad.
Very sad. Way too young. I also attended Cigar Lodge and Ivor Grotto, and I also attended the Robert Burns banquet last night, and we had our own version of Cigar Lodge afterwards. And then today I conducted an interview with the Grand Master, Larry A. Durr.
Did he get the job?
Well, it wasn't a job interview.
Oh, okay.
It was one for the upcoming 250th birthday of our country. Coming up in a couple years, the Grand Lodge is putting together a series of videos promoting that and encouraging lodges to how they can get involved in that. What did you do?
Do anything.
You popped something.
I know. I have no idea what
I always worry about you, brother.
It wasn't me.
All right, well, we're off to a rip-roaring start here. So let's take a break and make sure Larry's still in one piece, and we're going to come back with our guest, Jack Probst.
Why choose George J. Grove & Sons for your next home improvement project? At George J. Grove & Sons, we've built our reputation on quality and trust for more than 50 years. For planning, to materials, to installation, George J. Grove promises a home improvement experience second to none. Whether your goal is reducing energy costs, decreasing maintenance, updating curb appeal, or simply increasing the value of your home, the George J. Grove team will recommend and provide solutions that stand the test of time. Call 717-393-0859 for an estimate, or visit us at georgejgrove.com.
And we're back.
What?
Tonight's guest is Brother Jack Probst, and our guest host is Brother Ricky Martini. So, Ricky, take it away.
So, Jack.
No pressure.
What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is red, but I have to say blue for Blue Lodge.
Nice.
There you go.
Jack, I saw you yesterday at the Burns Banquet. It's great to see you and have a cigar with you. And we had some great talks, which was great. Last time I think I saw you in Lodge was at Harrisburg Snyder Lodge last
Larry,
year.
Yes. Ask him a question, Larry.
For the
That's an inside joke.
That's an inside joke. Sorry.
You'll understand when you listen to 40 more episodes.
For the Masonic Jeopardy.
Oh, yes.
Which
yes.
I was I'm a sore loser sometimes, and it was a tough battle, but my group won, which is great.
It's taken quite a life of its own. Actually, I'm coming back there in the beginning of May.
Yes,
to do the same thing.
So talk about
break
Masonic
into fisticuffs
Jeopardy.
Or what? Yeah, is there fighting?
There could be.
It could. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, I mean, it's come pretty close to fisticuffs sometimes. When the points get close. So, actually, it was a program that I came up with. As Worshipful Master of Pulaski Lodge number 216 in Pottsville. And for Masonic education, I was always in education, always loved it. So I thought, what better than having Masonic Jeopardy and played like Jeopardy? So I split the lodges up into
two teams, one on each side. The Worshipful Master is the judge and the scorekeeper, and I'm the quiz master. And I have various topics from history, famous Freemasons, Masonic law, ritual, and we go through, and there's easy questions, one-pointers, and there's really hard questions that are three-pointers.
I got one.
You have a daily double?
I got one.
Yes.
I got one. Secretaries say it every December.
Pay your damn dues.
There you go. What is pay your damn dues?
Thank you very much. I'm gonna have to add that. I'll add that one just for you guys. But yeah, so they have buzzers. They get to buzz in and everything.
Really? Oh,
and
that's hilarious.
And we play until we have, you know, the Worshipful Master says, okay, enough. But, you know, typically it's funny because, you know, I try to keep it to 20 minutes. And usually we go an hour because everybody's having so much fun.
That is great.
And then at the end we have Final Jeopardy. So they wager their points. And that's when the fun begins.
Yeah, it gets a little intense.
Yeah.
So. Wow.
And there's some trick questions in there that you really, you know, especially in ritual, that you have to know your ritual to get them correct. And I always said, as long as somebody walks out of there learning something new, one thing, I've done my job.
That's fantastic.
I've been making those rounds pretty frequently now since I've retired as deputy.
Put that in a box and sell it across the Commonwealth. You could do that.
I actually joke with the guys because everybody comes up to me afterwards and said, hey, can I get a copy of that? And I show them the front of my book, the binder, and I have a little copyright symbol on it.
No.
It's not copyright. It. But
well, that's all right. Nobody
could
knows.
Be okay.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that's new for me, I've never interviewed this person, like this kind of person before, but since you're now past district deputy grandmaster, now you're an aide to the grandmaster. What does that entail?
Basically, you assist the Grand Lodge with whatever they need. So we are most active at Grand Lodge quarterlies. So we'll make sure things are in line. You know, at the Lancaster quarterly, we had some guy selling tickets out in the hallway that I had to keep an eye on because he was kind of squirrely. But
he's definitely not a trustworthy dude. No. I know that guy.
But, you make a good treasurer.
So, you know, you get assigned to, like, the Grandmaster Durr. Henry Fedorovich is his direct aide. So Henry travels with him and does what he needs. And then, depending on what the other Rite Worshipfuls need, or I help the Grand Tyler and whatever else, I tend to look for things to do. I'm not a stand-in-the-corner kind of person, so.
We had a whole herd of them when the Grandmaster was here a couple of weeks ago. There was like aides running around. It was like a herd of chipmunks running around, just trying to make sure everything was tight.
So when we go on to, when we visit lodges with the Grand Lodge, of course we take the photo of the officers, hand out the pins, the Grandmaster's pins, and make sure that the regalia is in place and everybody's in line and everything else. But it's an interesting job.
You're doing great. Keep it up.
Yeah, Ricky, we're going to leave, and we'll come back in about an hour, and we'll wrap it up.
Well, I think one thing that we were talking about earlier before we started was a topic that was brought up in discussion, but we really didn't get much into it, was talking about the Infinity Lodge.
Okay.
Affinity
with an A.
Some lodges are Infinity.
Yeah. I know one or two.
Yeah.
So it became more interesting with Cigar Lodge, number one. So when Grandmaster Herrett gave us our, and I'm doing air quotes, our warrant of constitution for our lodge, it was amazing how many people contacted myself and Ed Stum, our Rite Worshipful Grand Smoke, about starting their own and wanting to know if we would help them charter their own. And trying to explain to them that it's not really a real thing. Although
but
we
it
do,
can be.
We do have a warrant.
If
and,
you believe it is,
yes, absolutely.
Then it is.
So that got us discussing affinity lodges. And it's something that you find mostly over in London, in England, where like-minded people, doctors, lawyers, pharmacists, they form their own lodges.
Rock musicians, among other groups.
California has a bunch of them. And I heard the guy speak one time, and like, there's a soccer lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you name it, and there's a lodge that forms around it.
Well,
the speaker at the Academy this past weekend, magician, is the Affinity Magicians Lodge in Hollywood.
Yeah,
excellent.
Cup and Ball Lodge. That was the name of his lodge.
Didn't think I listened
to that, did you? It's not being warmly received by the powers that be in Pennsylvania, and that's okay. But people who want to get together are looking for a way to get together, a reason to get together under a Masonic umbrella. Why do you suppose that is? I mean, what is it about that?
Well, you know, you have, and you can see it from the Cigar Lodge, where, of course, everybody's a cigar smoker or wants to be a cigar smoker. And we're all mostly Masons, but it's becoming more and more frequent now that we're having non-Masons join us.
Mm-hmm.
And you share that love of cigars or whatever. I mean, I have a lot of people asking to do Penn State alumni-type mm-hmm. lodges. And
we could create a whole new Grand Lodge from that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it was funny because Jack number one and I were down at Vox Lodge performing our committee person duties with engagement and revitalization. And we decided to stop over and have a smoke together. And we started talking. And of course, that led to some really in-depth Masonic topics. And one of them was Affinity. So he said, you know, this might be a great topic to bring. And then miraculously at Academy, it was one of the topics with the Magician's Lodge, Cup and Ball. So I really think it's something good, provided that it's done right. I've had this discussion many times over with some of the other brethren that are interested in cigar lodges or, you know, I know right now bourbon lodges, that kind of stuff, but...
Yeah, or trap shooting lodge,
sure,
or trout fishing lodge or whatever. And there's something about those things that creates a brotherhood around it. I mean, mm-hmm. we've got the motorcycle groups, right? We've
yep.
got Hiram Scottish Riders and Scottish Rite. You've got the Widow's Sons, and there's a couple of other Masonic Riders groups. Those are almost affinity lodges, but they're not recognized necessarily by the Grand Lodge. But they're close.
I think one of the things, the way that we're discussing it here, I think is, at least for us now, the appropriate way to do it, where we call it a cigar lodge or whatever, and we have the quote-unquote...
Air quotes around it. Yeah.
Air quotes around the charter. But it's kind of a organic mm-hmm. thing that happens. And so there's nothing to stop...
People from doing
this.
Right.
And whether or not the Grand Lodge gives you a little, you know, quasi-certificate or not is a different matter, but you can right. still get together and do that.
This is kind of a stretch. A traditional observant lodge... is kind of like an affinity lodge
yeah.
because it's
yeah.
made mm-hmm. up yeah. of men who want certain things to take place in that lodge that generally don't happen in the Blue Lodges in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they want that right. formality.
Exactly.
They want that formality.
Yeah. They want that mm-hmm. the big meal. Get it? What do we call it?
Festive board.
Thank you very much. Festive board. They want all of that, which is very European, by the way. So to me, that's kind of like it, but not quite.
In our jurisdiction, for example, though, the traditional observance lodges actually are lodges.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Yeah, they're warranted blue lodges.
They're warranted yes. blue lodges that just follow a slightly different path.
Right. Exactly, but they're men who want
correct.
That.
Correct.
And they gravitate toward that.
Yes.
So are we kind of sort of sliding into affinity lodges sideways? Because we've now got a day lodge in... Well, you've got one up in Allentown. You've got now one in Elizabethtown. Those are kind of sort of affinity lodges.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, are we getting there accidentally?
I think we're slowly getting there. You know, between the traditional observance lodges and the day lodges, because really, what better mechanism would you have to not only get people out to lodge, but also bring new people into lodge?
Yeah.
Because those guys are going to bring their friends to events. Of course, they're not going to bring, well, they could really bring them to a meeting if they're not a formal meeting
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, we're all Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
What better way to get more members and get interested members?
I would love to see how many people joined Freemasonry through Cigar Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any way to track that, but other than asking people. But I'm sure there have been. Go ahead.
What? No, I was just going to say, I know of one person in particular when, I can't remember who all it was, but we were at, I think we were at DNS over in Lancaster, and me and Jay Laser and a couple of others were sitting around talking after an academy meeting one day, and this guy came up and says, "Are you guys Masons?"
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, you know, that's something that's always been of interest to me."
Mm-hmm.
And so we began a conversation, and long story short, I ended up inviting him to a cigar lodge event. And
that wasn't Carlos.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. But we got him connected with a lodge, and he joined.
Yeah.
And so,
I think there's been a lot of them. Yeah. I'd love to track how many people have joined.
It's interesting. When we first started Goose and Gridiron years ago, we had three people come. We just invited men. And three of the people that would show up out of the first seven or eight of us that would meet were not Masons.
And are they now?
Yeah, they are now.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, typically we have two or three non-Masons at Cigar Lodge.
Right.
Yeah. We have I know one that, in fact, I just went to his third degree in Sunbury.
Oh, cool.
And he's actually a cigar store owner. And there was a bunch of Masons that went to his store.
Descended on his store.
Absolutely. Yeah,
like locust.
And the Hiram and Solomon cigar rep was there.
Cool.
Doing a presentation. And, you know, of course, we're all chit-chatting about cigars and Freemasonry and everything else. And he looks over at this gentleman, and he goes, why aren't you petition?
Nice.
So he just got his third degree 2 weeks ago.
Bam.
And we all went up there and visited him. And
so one of the things, though, if you look at the affinity lodges in Europe, especially in England, Great Britain, UK, whatever they're called this week.
All the
But the, and I apologize to all my British friends. That's insulting, and I apologize. But they have lodges open and close all the time. Like, they're into the thousands of, you know, numbers of lodges, because they open, they're alive for a couple of years, 10, 15, whatever, and then they close again. And no, then there's no gnashing of teeth and wailing and, oh my God, a lodge closed. It just closed because that lodge had run its course.
Right.
In our world, that's anathema. I mean, we don't want to close a lodge. Well, I mean, we're not going to close any lodges this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the next two.
Well, we're not going to allow mergers.
Well, we're not going to allow mergers, but all right. So if anyway, notwithstanding. But the point is that it's a horrible thing when a lodge closes in Pennsylvania. It's the end of the world as we know it. But for them, it's not so much, because they've got lodges opening and closing all the time. We had a friend, Dan Madrigal, who was on the show, who was trying to start a Spanish-speaking lodge in Pennsylvania. And they couldn't make the hurdle in Pennsylvania, because the requirement was so high. So they went across the river to Camden, and they had a lodge in 3 months. The Grand Lodge of New Jersey chartered their lodge, and now that's where they're at. And I just, you know, it shouldn't be that hard. I think there's a lot of value to be derived from it.
I think it was interesting with the brother that spoke at the academy, where, you know, California is trying one, and was it California or Florida? California.
California.
So they started one, and now they're seeing how that works, and then, you know, moving out from that. But, you know, I've thought about this quite a bit after talking with a lot of folks for many years about doing things like this. And again, this is just my opinion, that I think if we start small, and sort of like we have with the Lodge of Research, where you have to be a Pennsylvania Mason in a warranted lodge, and then you can have an affinity lodge. You can have a cigar lodge where you're not conferring degrees, and you're not, you know, someone has to go through a regularly warranted lodge, but then you can join this as a secondary lodge. And then what better way to get members in, because they want to belong to Cigar Lodge, but the only way they can do that is by joining a local lodge in their area. And,
you start small like that and you move forward.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you know, it might go out to being bigger and better things where they can actually confer degrees or, you know, depending on what the Grand Lodge says.
I don't know. I'm just I'm in my head. Ed Stumm is conferring a degree.
Yes.
He's always conferring a degree.
Yeah.
Of some kind.
He's the best.
He's
the pinnacle of masonry. I love it.
Jack, I definitely agree with you on that, with the affinity. You look at how many members join Blue Lodge, and they go through their degrees. They might go to a meeting or two, and then you never see them again.
Yeah.
It's like, because I know the meetings are exciting, and it brings a lot of joy to them, and, you know, it makes them like
grip. Get him out of here.
Rippling to come back.
Just get out right now.
And look, the Worshipful Masters do a great job on doing programs and for their lodges to make it fun and exciting and educational. But you're going to have those amount of people that doesn't do it for them. And if you bring it to something personable that they like, whether it's smoking cigars, whether it's having bourbon together with some friends, whether it's going fishing or hunting or whatever they want to do, it'll make them show up to Blue Lodge because that's where their now friends are that they hang out with every day. And like you said, then they'll be like, go, you know what? It's not that bad. Maybe I will go through the chairs. Maybe I will learn the work. So you're getting those percentage of members that normally would just walk away instantly. Now you're giving them a second chance to do something else in masonry with the group, with brethren, and in the long run, potential for them to even move through the line, learn degree work, and be successful in Blue Lodge and in other members of
I don't know what the tenor is in Grand Lodge, because obviously Grand Lodge has to be in favor of such a thing, and it has to be a program that comes from him. I don't know what Grand Line thinks, other than it isn't actively moving forward. So I don't know whether they object to it. Or they're just waiting for it to happen. I don't know, but I think there's a huge, like Ricky, like you were just saying, guys come in, they get involved in something that their friends are involved in, and that tends to draw them in. And I think that's more likely than not. And why we don't do it, I'm not sure that I understand.
I don't think it's ever been overlooked by Grand Lodge, because to tell you the truth, I mean, you know, with all the exposure that I've had to Grand Lodge, they are constantly trying to look at ways to better the fraternity and to bring members in and to bring, you know, valued members into the lodges and stuff like that. And I think it just might be something that has to gain traction and has to gain interest.
Wait for its right moment.
Yeah. Yes.
Wait for the bell to ring.
Yeah. Better to listen to the Masonic Light podcast to get those educational chances there.
Larry's hard learning.
Okay. What we need to do. Those of you that were wondering what that ringing noise was, it's Larry's pacemaker.
So before we go get the AED unit,
it's on the third floor, Larry. Go get it.
Go get it, Larry. And we're going to take a break here in a minute. But we want to thank our sponsors. We failed to mention this earlier.
Oh, geez, Tim. You had a lot of jobs.
I have a lot of jobs. But anyway, our sponsors tonight, one of whom you've already heard from, George J. Grove and Sons.
Who's been around for how long?
Over 60 years.
Whoa, 60 years. 60 years.
And you
That's
might,
a lot of years.
You might hear a new...
George doesn't look that old.
He doesn't look that old.
No.
No, not at all.
He's got nice teeth, too.
Hiram & Solomon Cigars. That we were talking about a moment ago.
Right. So we're hitting all these people.
Intermezzo by Stephanie.
Which is on the table in front of us right now.
For tonight's.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Yes. Scott Helm Electric. And tonight, beginning tonight, we have a new sponsor.
Yes, yes, we do.
Oh, really? Two Pillars Apparel.
Josh.
Say that real quick without popping a pee. Josh is going to.
Tell us about Two Pillars Apparel, Josh.
Oh, no. He's going to do it later.
This is where he drops in the ad that he's going to record
drop
later.
In the ad in a few minutes. But anyway, and we also, most importantly, want to thank all of our Patreon subscribers. Larry, turn your phone off.
For the love of God, Larry. We've been doing this for 8 years. 8 years, Larry.
Larry, I've been doing this for about 20 minutes, and I got the gist of it.
All kind of noises coming from over that side of the room.
I'm telling you what.
my God.
All I need is the ESPN notice.
Thank goodness nobody in Philly's playing sports tonight. But we also want to thank our patrons on Patreon for as little as $1 a month.
Just $1!
Just a dollar. You can be a contributing sponsor of this show.
And we will love you long time.
We will love you long time. So thank you very much for that. We encourage you to visit all of our social media sites, or you can give us a phone call at, Larry, what's our phone number?
1-315-596. What is that, an 8 or a 7?
Something. Make it easy.
5-9-MASON.
315-59-MASON. 315-59-MASON. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And somebody please grab Larry's phone and put it on silent.
Oh, can I put it outside?
And we'll be right back.
As far back as the mid-1800s, records exist describing the pre-meeting tradition of brethren smoking cigars during and after gatherings. To this day, the practice of smoking cigars remains very much alive in many lodges. This custom is considered a time for brethren to relax, exchange ideas, and enjoy the simplicity and fellowship that is the very essence of our brotherhood. This is what Hireman Solomon Cigars is all about. Our starting principles are to bring Masonic brethren together in the harmony of a good cigar. Pull up a chair, sit back, light up any of our premium cigars, and enjoy the history. Hiram and Solomon Cigars can be found at fine cigar retailers. For a complete list, visit HiramandSolomonCigars.com or check them out on social media to find out when they'll be at a live event near you. Hiram and Solomon Cigars is pleased to be the official cigar of the Masonic Light Podcast.
And we're back. Tonight's guest is Brother Jack Probst, past district deputy of Masonic District number 58.
You got it.
Oh, yes. Doesn't happen often, but...
Ask him tomorrow.
Ask him tomorrow. Uh-huh. That's right. So, Jack, you completed your term as district deputy last year.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you serve?
10 years.
10 years. So, what did you think the job was when you started?
I had a pretty good handle on it because Brother Carl Berger,
Larry,
he was coming up on the end of his fifth year, and he was planning on retiring. So we had the talk, and at the same time, the districts were merged.
Wait a minute, we had the talk.
We had the talk.
So I can't let that go. I'm sorry.
I was very active in the district, primarily with the School of Instruction as an assistant principal. And I regularly traveled and did programs throughout the district. So I guess I caught his attention. And, you know, he pulled me aside the one day and he said, I'm planning on retiring at the end of my fifth year, and I would really be interested to see if you would be interested in becoming a district deputy. And at that time, I was still, you know, working some swing shifts at work and everything else, and I thought, you know, I stay active in the lodge, I stay active in the other bodies and everything else. This is something that I would be interested in doing, and we had a talk about, you know, what the requirements were and what the responsibilities were. And, you know, coming from what I do for employment, it sort of fell hand in hand. And he was putting my name in, but then the Grand Lodge merged the district.
Oh, that's right.
So we had 5 lodges, and when he retired, they said, okay, we're going to split you up. So then that put me on basically a sabbatical for a couple of years until the district was remerged 2 more times over.
Wow.
And we ended up in District 58. Brother Bob Briggs was planning on retiring in his 5th or 6th year, and the other past district deputies in the district got together and you know, told him that they wanted me as district deputy. So I was offered the job, went through the
interview. Did they not know you very well? Is that why they?
Actually, they did because okay. I traveled regularly in and out of the district.
You're a pretty busy district deputy. I mean, I saw you a lot of places, and I don't go very much.
He used to scare me.
Huh?
When Jack I first did? Met Jack, I thought at Scar at different places. I thought, he's kind of rigid. He's a big fella. Scared. I've been a Mason for 50 years, but he's still frightened.
He's kind of a tight ass, though. Right?
Yeah,
I know. You don't
until,
know Jack.
Until I saw him dance in front of his lodge.
No, yeah, when he did Baby
said,
Shark.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes. If you're listening, go to YouTube and look up Jack Probst Baby Shark.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
It was
out there forever.
It was a classic.
That was a challenge that I put forward to all my lodges. That
so that may be one of the answers to a question coming up, but continue.
So Grandmaster Herrett's project was to digitize all the Grand Lodge records. Mm-hmm. And I've put the challenge out to the lodges that if they raise $2,000, I would do the Baby Shark dance in full regalia. And of course, as Freemasons, they stepped up to the challenge.
Absolutely.
I did Baby Shark, and every now and then I get a little notice from YouTube and Facebook saying, hey, you know, somebody looked at this again. I think the last time I looked, there was like 20,000 plus views of it.
So you're about to get about 4 million listeners, new viewers on six planets.
Yeah, so it was fun. I did it in about three takes, and
It was brilliant. It was Madonna worthy.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it.
I absolutely laughed out loud.
Yeah.
Josh, I'll have to link that on the show notes.
So, it was, you know, we had a lot of fun, and we made the money and toward a worthy project, and I was happy with them.
Excellent. Yeah. So what was your greatest learning over the 10 years about either being a deputy or your lodges in general or any of that?
I think I don't want to say my leadership skills improved, but I had a better understanding of how the minds of Masons worked, and especially in a pure volunteer organization, because we all hear that, this is a volunteer organization,
mm-hmm.
but there's more to that, and, you know, reminding the brethren that they took an obligation, especially as officers, to do what they need to do to help their lodges out and lead their lodges. And I think that was the thing. I grew with them. I learned a lot that not all lodges are the same. They all have their own idiosyncrasies. And even traveling around the state, I really learned that every lodge truly is different. That they, although we have ritual, ritual is different.
Ritual doesn't account.
No, ritual is the same.
Ritual doesn't. Well, ritual does not account for culture.
This is true.
And every lodge has its own culture.
Absolutely.
And that's important to understand.
I heard it when I first came in as deputy and I started making the rounds. I heard many times where this is the our way of doing things. I'm like, as long as your way meets with my way, I'm okay.
Yeah, that's good.
It doesn't, then we're going to have a chat. But, you know, fortunately, most of the times it was just little odds and ends. But I think that was the biggest thing is learning how to work with people, different ages too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had worshipful masters that were in their 20s and I had worshipful masters that were in their 60s. And they all had different skill sets and people skills. People skills are the big thing, and I tried to get that into the lodges, and especially the new lodge officers, that, you know, you need their help. You are supporting them, even though you're leading them, that you need to treat everybody with respect and move forward with it.
What, and this is what I was mentioning earlier, do you have any regrets?
I think I would have changed. I initially, when I went in, knowing all the players, knowing the lodges, knowing how they worked and everything else, I went in, I introduced myself, and basically I stepped back. I don't want to say I didn't get engaged, but I stepped back just to get a better insight into the backgrounds of the lodges, how the secretaries were working, how the treasurers, the trustees, and everything. And I honestly think, and I tell some of the deputies that I mentored over the past and even the new deputies now, that they have to come up with goals and objectives for their district themselves and their officers and their lodges, and to move forward with it right away. Because if you don't, you set a precedence where what we're doing is okay, you know, but don't go in there with being a hammer and a nail either.
Right.
You know, you got to work with them. And I think I would have just changed that a little bit. I would have set up better goals and objectives for the lodges and the district, and then went in there from day one and said, guys, here's my expectations. I want to know what your expectations are of me, and we'll work, and we'll get it done. So, yeah, I think that's the one thing I would change.
Ricky has a question.
Yeah, I got two questions, actually. So 10 years as district deputy. So is that like the like automatic retirement?
Yes.
10 years.
So in order to be considered past district deputy, you have to serve at least 5 years. At 10 years, you automatically time out. So I reached full term, and that was it.
So out of those 10 years, I know it's tons of accomplishments that you've made. Is there any time that stands out that would be like something that you look back at as like the most proudest moment of being a district deputy?
Great question.
There's a lot. I mean, there were officers that I mentored from the time they came in to the lodge as newly made Master Masons, all the way up to that, even one or two that I actually even gave all the degrees to, and then they ended up being worshipful master of their lodge. Now, thinking about that, you have, so I'm a district deputy grandmaster with 10 years, and I'm in conferring degrees, and then that guy is becoming an officer within my term. So,
impressive.
You know, but it's not the way it should be, but it was very impressive. And the other thing too is, I think another great thing was, is I was given, the deputies mentor new deputies. And I had two great mentees that I really had a good time with. And it was interesting to see, you know, 5 or 6 years in, to see being a new deputy through their eyes and go, oh, I remember doing that. And here's some, I never ever told them that, unless it was a Masonic law question, but I never told them how to do something. It's like, here's what I did. Here's some ideas. You know your district. You know your lodges. Go forth and prosper. And I think that's, you know, that was some of my, and then of course, you know, the odds and ends, helping the lodges out with different problems that they've had and anniversaries and things like that. That nice. Was always fun.
Is there anything that you would have liked to have done that you didn't do?
Yeah, I think, you know, throughout that whole term, I really tried to get the lodges more involved with social activities, traveling and visiting each other, traveling outside the district. We tried quite a few different events. Some worked, some different didn't, where we, you know, we had a day at the shooting range. We had a Halloween dance. We had socials and stuff like that. You'd get the same group of people out at each one of them. And I think I really should have, personally, I think I should have tried harder. But yeah, I think that was one of the things. I wanted to get these guys out and moving.
It's tough to get social events together because the 12 guys that are involved that are going to come out to your social event are the 12 guys that are in chapter, that are the same 12 guys that are in commandery, that are the same 12 guys that are in
council.
Scottish Rite and
council
and everything else. And
like, Aaron Council.
I don't want to see those guys anymore. Oh, my God.
Yep.
So it's that social part of it that we all join for. I think most of us join because we're, you know, we're excited about the fraternity part of it and being a part of something. And then it's really tough. We've tried innumerable times. We were upstairs. I gave you the tour of the lodge about, you know, the pool room. We have these two giant Brunswick pool tables that are over 100 years old, And there, it's the most underutilized room in the building.
It's been 90 years since someone used one.
Well, no, they're up there once in a while, but it's like, it's just such a shame that, you know, because we're also in, you know, involved in our own lives and, you know, it's just tough to get people out on a consistent basis. That's why I love Grotto.
Yeah.
Because Grotto, there's no overhead to Grotto, right? No. You just show up and have dinner.
Oh, is that the dinner I went to the other night?
Yeah. Yeah,
it was like
exactly.
Everyone was like, "Why are you so happy here?"
Yeah, you were the only guy smiling in the pictures. Yeah, but it's the one event that you can just kick back and relax, and I know every month there's going to be a Grotto meeting, and it's going to be fun, and you know, we can throw stuff at the speaker and whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's tough trying to get those things started.
There was a lot of people in the lodges that never saw lodges in the other sides of the district.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have a traveling school, so at least those brethren got out. You know, it changed lodge to lodge every month.
I love
month.
That.
So they got to see what the lodges look like. And, you know, before the meetings and even during the meetings, you know, I would always say, okay, who has what going on? And then say, okay, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And outside the district, and so yeah, it's I think we don't play that up enough, and I think that's another important thing that we need to do is have like a master Masonic calendar, because you know, I know just scheduling cigar lodges, I get 20,000 emails saying, oh, that's this or that's that day, and I mean, fortunately, it's on a Sunday. But it would be so nice for guys to be able to, brethren, to go and look and say, hey, you know, lodge number 123 is meeting on this night, and I'm going to be in that area. Why not? And this is the program. So why not go and check it out? So it's, I think that's important, too.
So Larry gets one question per show. Larry, what's your question?
No, I don't have a question. I'm thinking about something else. I'm thinking about the Robert Burns dinner you guys went to. I want to talk to you about that before, but I don't want to interrupt the flow here.
Oh, okay.
I already interrupted the flow?
He's going to bank his question for the next
episode. Larry's flowing.
So being from the Pottsville Lodge,
mm-hmm.
I heard rumor that they would actually, after lodges, sometimes go to Yuengling Brewery and have private tours.
So for many years,
what?
So Pulaski Lodge number 216, my home lodge, and at the time there was Pottsville Lodge number 730, which we merged together. After our officer installation, election and installation, we would retire up to the Yuengling Rathskeller. And Dick Yuengling is not a Mason. His father was, however. And have a nice event there. Unfortunately, at some point in time, not the Masonic fraternity, but other organizations sort of messed the area up, and that put an end to that. So,
wow. Boo.
Yeah,
it would have been really nice. But
it was awesome
that.
It was awesome to go up there. And
I went to school with Dick Yuengling. Great school.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. He was a year ahead of me, and actually, he scared me to death. He was a school bully.
Oh.
You sure it wasn't his grandfather?
Years ago, later, and went to the tour. And actually, I didn't go down to this basement or, you know, down the tunnels. And I said to the one lady, does Mr. Yuengling come in a lot? No. I said, tell him that Larry Maris, who used to be at Garfield Square School with him, said he was a school bully and he scared me to death. And she laughed.
He walked uphill with school.
And now
ways.
His daughters own the place.
Oh, yes. They're doing good. They're doing a bang up job with
that.
Oh,
aren't they? Yes. Really phenomenal, yep. Phenomenal. Sorry about that.
No, it's good.
That's great. All good news.
So, Jack, it's been great to have you here tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wait.
The other Jack.
The other Jack.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you have to be here. But you didn't have to be here tonight.
I didn't have
to. He could have been at the Joshua Association.
I had a free pass. So we got three Joshuas and a Josh.
Right.
And two Jacks. That's a full house.
There you go.
Come on.
And I know where Josh lives because Timmy threw a cup at his house.
We threw a trash in his yard, yeah.
So we're going to take one more break. When we come back, we're going to hear from our brother Walter with the news. And we will play Copious News with our guest.
All right.
In Masonic News Today, popular Masonic secretary Tim Deadman has been seized by federal authorities, threatening bodily harm to lodge audit committees across the Commonwealth. Said Deadman, "Come on, people, what the hell?" That's the Masonic news. So mote it was.
That is very plausible. I have to admit that.
Tim, I think you should get an act of valor for all the lodge audits that you had to endure over the last couple months here.
He had calls while we're sitting here recording.
Yeah. I mean, we start 5 minutes into the show, I get a call from a district deputy, and I know what it's about. So, oh, guys, please, get your audits done.
Come on, people.
Trustees, please share your reports with
your secretaries. Numbers. Just add them together. It balances out.
God. Everybody's happy. It's springtime except for Tim.
Gosh. I may have to check myself into rehab before this is done.
Nobody likes a quitter, Tim.
I know. All right. That's been a great episode tonight. We have one more thing to do. Jack, what time is it?
It's time for Copious Dues.
Tonight's a special episode of Copious Dues.
Tell us, Tim, why is it so special?
You know.
Well, because we have two dues-carrying members.
It's a double-eyed gonzo.
It's a double-header. So tonight, we have with us past district deputy Jack Brost. And Jack is an occasional listener to the show and knows that we're going to do this to him. So yes, when sir. I said, "Jack, write down how much you pay," and he was like, bang, right there with his number. So, Jack, we're going to guess how much you pay in copious dues.
Okay.
Tim Deadman, what do you think Jack pays for copious dues?
I'm going to say $913.
That's $913. Larry, what do you think Jack pays in copious dues?
$685.
Oh, wow. You are so out.
You are so out.
He's going for the under. That's what he's doing.
1970, that was right.
Yeah.
Josh, what do you think our friend Jack pays for copious dues?
$1,400.
Ooh.
This isn't Seth Anthony.
Wait, was that a decimal point? Wait, comma.
It's supposed to be $1,004. $1,004.
$1,004. And I think Jack pays $1,001.
It's like the price is right.
We're slicing this one thin. Yes, we are.
All right.
All right. So, Jack, should we do Ricky next?
Well, let's do them individually.
Okay. That's what I thought. Jack, tell us, how much do you get hosed for copious dues?
I pay about $778.
Oh my gosh.
Flareld.
Flareld wins.
Flareld took the under and ran away.
He took the under. He's on the horse. He took the under.
Well done, Larry.
Well done, Larry.
All right. All right, now.
Ricky Martini.
Ricky Martini. How much do you... No, don't tell us how much. We're going to guess. Josh, how much do you think Ricky pays for copious dues?
Well, man. $800. $0.36.
I'm not retired for masonry.
Such a careful calculation that was. Tim.
I'm going to say $801.
Larry Maris, what do you think Ricky pays for?
$476.
Ah, taking you.
That's my Blue Lodge dues.
Right.
And Jack picks 477. So, Ricky, tell us, what do you pay for copious dues?
$760.
Oh. Who's that, Tim? Wah. I think that's me.
It has to be Larry again.
No, I was a dollar over Larry.
Okay, you're right.
Copycat.
I got your system.
The dues will only increase from here.
That's right.
Sir. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for playing. Thank you for playing copious dues.
All right. Great night tonight. So, Larry, what you got coming up?
Ghost and Gridiron.
No way, really?
Mount Mill Family Diner, 9 o'clock.
What do you all do there?
What do we all do? We just eat breakfast and chat.
Okay.
And Lodge in the April, first Tuesday in April.
What's the date? Do you know?
Nah.
What's the program? Do you know?
Nah, I don't know. I'll just be there.
Okay, good.
Josh will be there, too, I think.
Josh coming?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's my Masonic birthday.
Oh, you get candy, right?
Oh. No,
congratulations.
They did away with the candy.
Yeah, they did away with the candy, yeah. Oh,
you all cut back, huh?
Why? And I have executive board meeting for Tall Cedars.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Larry, I'm impressed.
Tell them I know somebody who makes candy. So.
Yeah.
That's, we did use, we used her candy when it was gone. I didn't order anything anywhere.
Huh. How about that?
How about that?
But we gave the last of the Mad Hatter away.
Jack, number one.
I have coming up my AMD Cincinnati's Council meets on Friday night. We're being visited by our, I don't know what he is, district guy.
Poobah
is coming to visit us to see how crazy we are.
Wait a minute. Oh, I think I know. No, never mind. Go
ahead. Yes, you know him.
Yeah.
I have ritual training. I meet with my candidates every Monday night to teach them the dialogue, the oath and obligations, and then we also dissect and digest the work that they've seen. I do that Monday nights. I am also committed now to helping our lodge officers learn their work, and that's a huge, huge commitment. I sort of... ask them to let me please help them learn their work, and that's going really well. They're all very excited, and we had a scenario, and I don't know if this is widespread or not, but we had an officer in the line who learned the third degree, and he became the third degree guy, and nobody else felt obligated to learn the third degree. So now we've got the whole line is missing the third degree. And we can't have that. So we have to go back and we have to work on backfilling that. So the guys are set up. They're very excited. They want to commit to it. So I'm helping our guys do that. And that's like, you know, an hour, 1 hour, you know, once a week. What do you have? What do you need? Let's keep it moving forward. So that's exciting. And I think we'll be able to get the lodge on really solid footing in about a year and a half or 2 years. So.
Great. Jack number two, Jack Probst.
I have two Grandmaster visitations coming up, one to Eureka Westshore Lodge.
Yes, you do.
And one to Mount Olivet Lodge. So, yeah, looking forward to those.
What's the night of the Mount Olivet Lodge?
The following Monday. So the 8th?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Yeah.
Chapter, so I can't go to that. I'd love to go to that.
Go to chapter.
Yeah. Ricky.
Well, tomorrow night I have a Scottish Rite Club dinner up in McAllisterville, Pennsylvania.
You just made that up. McAllisterville, right?
Yeah, no.
You made it's that McAllisterville town.
Is that
you,
a thing?
You hit the North Pole and you keep going north.
Okay, got it.
It's north of the wall in Pennsylvania.
McAllisterville town, Burke.
Yep, I'm going to represent the Princes of Jerusalem for the Harrisburg Consistory. And then I have chapter meeting April 1st.
Go to chapter.
Chapter is fantastic. We make it a lot of fun.
Okay. What chapter are you in?
Perseverance, chapter number 21.
Wow.
They're very old.
And when is that?
First Monday.
Yep, April 1st.
First Monday?
So I could be lying and saying it's April 2nd. How would you know? It's April 1st.
I see what you did there.
Also, I have our Harrisburg Snyder Lodge, number 629 Blue Lodge, stated meeting on April 2nd. Where we have Bobby Snyder giving the program for how many Masons does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I've heard that program. Oh, that's a great program.
Now, I told him it would take one, but he told me he just nodded going,
uh-uh.
So I'm sure I'm in for a deed of awakening there.
That's great.
I got April 4th, the Thursday, I have Commandery at program number 11. In Harrisburg for their stated meeting. And I have our extra meeting where we're doing a third degree for Harrisburg Snyder Lodge on the 10th. And, of course, consistory on the 12th of April for their stated meeting. It's a couple full weeks here. I've had a hard time fitting stuff into my busy schedule outside of Masonic events, but I've been able to do that.
And it's one night a month?
Great. I'll tell you one thing, Jack. One, if I am able to use your pool tables in cigar area, I will be your Tyler for after the 665.
Well, I'm the Tyler right now, so absolutely.
You can be the assistant Tyler.
Assistant Tyler. Right? I like that.
There you go. I can let you. Good. Yeah, we need an assistant Tyler.
Ricky, absolutely. I just want you to know I'm impressed. You went through all of those activities, and Larry did not groan once. Well, when I try to do that, he groans every time.
Well, you know, he's a busy guy. He has a lot of stuff going on, and I commend him for that.
Yep.
I mean, you've done 100 shows. You're getting tired of it.
Josh, how about you?
As Larry mentioned, we have Blue Lodge coming up. I've got some other stuff going on. Got the episode, of course.
Thanks for that detailed analysis,
yes,
Josh.
Thank you very much.
You seem very busy. Very busy.
So, as Jack number two mentioned, on April the 1st, and this, I actually got a letter going, are you really kidding us? Is this for real? Eureka West Shore Lodge number 302 will have its April stated meeting, and prior to that, we will host the District 3 Oyster Feed, which is a great night, and especially if you like oysters, and we have expanded. For those who don't, we offer a steak option.
That's a great option. Great option.
Jack, I believe you will be at this one and didn't mention it. On the 6th, we will be at the operatives meeting in Lancaster. Yeah, I think you're getting a degree, right?
I am getting my 4th degree in operatives.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congrats.
On the 8th, Samuel C. Perkins Royal Arts Chapter. I'll be at that. I will also be at the Harrisburg Scottish Rite stated meeting, where we will be joined by... Oh, gosh. What's his title?
Walt.
No, not his name.
Oh, our...
Supreme Commander.
Allied of Masonic forces.
Yeah. Of the Northern Masonic jurisdiction.
Darth Vader's father.
Yeah, right.
The guy from Boston.
Walt Wheeler. He's actually from one of the Michigan.
Michigan.
He's
yes,
actually
he is.
From Michigan.
Well, very, very nice. Boston. Very nice
and,
man. Very
and then
nice
the next guy. Day, he will very be nice at guy. The celebration of the 150th anniversary of the Lancaster Lodge of Perfection. Mm-hmm. Larry, you going to be there?
No.
Okay. You remember that group?
Yep.
Not going?
Nope.
Larry, I will. We'll drive you.
Nope.
And then the last thing, I'm going to give you all fair warning. On the day of our next episode is going to be recorded on April the 10th. And earlier that day, I'm going to have a colonoscopy. So I should be in real good shape by the time I get to the
things
episode.
Things will look very clearly by then.
Yes. The good news is the worst part will be over.
It will be the first time in years that you are not full of shit.
That's right.
If there is only one chair in the waiting room, don't sit in it.
Right. Exactly.
You will have an appetite.
I'll tell you why I'm having to have that on this date after we're done tonight. But anyway.
We're all going to be sitting on the edge of our seat.
I'm sure.
For
that, yeah.
I'm sure.
Bury your soul.
So will Tim. Are we going to all give you hugs when we're done?
All right. So, Josh, open that gate.
Oh, geez. No, wait. Come on.
Let the chickens out.
I'm all right.
And,
but Ricky, are you a turtle?
Ooh, good question, Jack.
Are you a turtle? Jack, are you a turtle?
That's your sweet ass I am.
There you go. No, all right. No. Ricky, we may have to take care of something later.
Yeah, we can take care of that right now.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
Absolutely. Yeah. So.
Larry. This is Larry.
I'm waiting for Tim to do what he's going to do. There you go. Special thanks to Effort of Lodge 665 for allowing us to continue to meet here. If they knew what was going on down here, that could change. Anyway, to Josh Lamberton. To Josh Lamberton, our producer and director. Jack Harley, our news director. Tim Dedman, our marketing director. To Michelle Snyder and Doug Maidenford and Austin Schifrin, Masonic Light contributors. They do a great job, by the way. And to our listeners who always make doing this show worthwhile. This is Larry Maris saying thanks for listening. And remember, have fun and do good. Good night. Or good day, wherever you are.
Good day.
Hey, we forgot to mention, help promote scouting out there. One of our Patreons suggested we say that, so we just did. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Night.